The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Ever wanted to try something new, step outside your comfort zone, feared maybe that you were a bit too old to start? Well, that is how Mark, the main character from Henry Murphy's new novel, Tilting at Windmills, subtitled A Spanish Year Chasing a Novel Dream, that's how he felt. Well, the author himself, Henry Murphy, is joining us from Spain. Henry, good morning.
Buenos dias, Pat, may I say that? And welcome to Canarias de
Albaida. Absolutely. Look, it's interesting because in a sense, Mark's story is the same as your story. You took yourself off to Spain.
Yeah, it is a bit. I think, yeah. I did. We came to Spain a few years ago, and one of my projects. Some people play golf or whatever it is. My project was to write, following on a bit of earlier writing that I had done. I wanted to write a novel, and I didn't know what I was going to write about. And eventually, I thought. Anyway, I came up with the idea. Well, writing a novel about a fella coming to Spain to write a novel. And so it's steeped in the village here, the surroundings here, but there's also a plot, there's fiction. So it's a mixture of fact and fiction.
Yeah, because there are certain twists in the novel, which I won't reveal here, but which you would not wish upon yourself. That's for sure. Yeah. How has lockdown in Andalusia been?
Well, it has been very... Spain was hit very badly, as you know. More in the north of Spain, Madrid, Catalonia. Down here, better, apparently. And our village, we have been very lucky. It hasn't hit our village at all. But we were in a very severe lockdown. And my only knowledge is really of the around here, an area called the Axarquía. But we were absolutely confined to our houses. And that had nothing to do with over 70. Everybody, whole family, in your casa, in the house all the time. From whatever date it was, mid-March, for whatever it was, about 3 months. And all you could go out for was to the chemist or the shop for essential shopping. And that's a very short distance. So that if you had a dog, you could walk your dog. We didn't have a dog. But we couldn't even go out for exercise. So it was very restrictive that way. But listen, we had everything. We had the few shops that are here. We had our food. We had our glass of wine. We were absolutely fine. So we were very lucky from that point of view. And really the only drawback was total confinement to the house. And you couldn't walk out into the lovely mountains to get a bit of exercise.
Now, your title, Tilting at Windmills, is a reference to Don Quixote.
Yes.
Why did you choose that title?
Which I haven't read, I'm sorry.
Okay, but we know tilting at windmills, imaginary foes and enemies and so on.
Yes.
Well, so your title, why did you choose it?
That's the title, And that's exactly what it is. But what I was thinking of there was, well, look, a fella who turned out to be myself writing about a fella, Mark, who's the fellow in the book, you know, after 40 years in my case as a barrister, decide early 60s, going to do this. And, you know, you're sort of wondering to yourself, hold on, is this all pie in the sky? Is this ridiculous? And Walter Mitty stuff and so on. So I think, I'm not sure if my understanding of the title Tilting at Windmills is absolutely correct, but it's that sort of thing, you know.
Now, you had a very distinguished career at the bar, and you began writing before you, left the bar. And I presume you have retired fully, have you, from the bar?
I have, yes. A few years ago now, Pat, yes.
I was thinking of, your children seems to be embodiments of bits of you, the children of yours that I know. I mean, there's Owen, of course, former government minister, Fine Gael TD. Colin... I've interviewed Colin on several occasions, the playwright. Killian, who goes by the name of Killian Scott, the actor in Love, Hate. And they're all sort of, and you, of course, a daughter who's a barrister. I'm not sure what the other two are doing, but all bits of you in a sense. You know, the barrister bit, the actor, because a barrister's got to be an actor.
Yeah, well, God help them, Pat, if that's the case. I don't know. They're all sort of doing different things and... it's great. I love to see it. And, you know, happily so far, they've been going well. But I don't think it's not coming from me. I don't know where these things go. I was never a politician. I was never an actor. My wife, Mary, did a bit of acting. And there's a little bit of acting back in the family. But it's a bit way back. And, you know, so in a sense, really, I don't know where it comes from.
Of all the things that you've done, I mean, you were something of a rugby player. And you're now a writer, and you were 40 years at the bar, as you say. If you could have done things differently, I mean, would you have, you know, preferred to be playing for Leinster in a time of professional rugby, few caps for Ireland? Would you swap that for your great success at the bar?
Well, I don't think I could. I mean, I wouldn't have been good enough, Pat, first of all. But I would not. I don't think I'd like professional sport. I don't know how they do it. How these rugby players, tennis players, and so on, day in, day out. I mean, I loved the sport and I loved it. But I think probably as an amateur, if I was to do anything else, I would probably always somewhere along the line, the writing thing was always there, but it didn't really manifest until the 90s when I was in my late 40s or something, I can't remember. And I think possibly if I was doing it again, I'd be a teacher, but I'm not sure.
In your earlier books of short stories, you have a fledgling barrister called Dermot McNamara. And you wrote all sorts of tales. I mean, you talk about a judge who's fond of eyeing up the young female barristers and all of that. Books came out, I mean, were people saying, oh, we know who he's talking about in the law library, or we know who he's talking about on the bench?
Well, in anticipation, it made me very nervous, wondering where people. I mean, none of them were really, they weren't bait. You know, all these characters are always an amalgam, I think, in a book. You have somebody in mind, but then they get other qualities or whatever it is are added in. So, I wasn't actually saying that particular person on the bench, and I associate that person with this particular characteristic, and now I'm going to write, it's a bit more muddled than that. But I was very nervous about it, that people would. But it was a bit funny too, though, because colleagues would come up to me and say, I thought I could see her in it, and I could see him in it, and so on. And of course, they were completely wrong. They weren't in my mind at all, anyway.
Did you have that thing at the beginning of the book? Any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. All the characters are the creation of the imagination of the author.
I certainly did, but I'm not sure if that's any use if somebody decides to.
Well, you're the legal eagle here, so you can tell me if that would be protection enough.
I wonder. I wonder. I'm not aware of it having been tested, but I suppose that wasn't my area. But I would. Well, I don't know. You'd be relying on it certainly, but I wonder would it succeed. I mean, if there was a very clear identification with an individual.
One of your finest stars at the bar was the legendary now cross-examination of Celia Larkin. Do you look back on that with sort of I nailed that one?
No, I don't. No, I don't at all. No. Probably she nailed me. But
she insisted on calling you by your first name, Henry, she said.
It was quite unusual. And I remember when it happened the first time in the sort of hangar thing up there in the wonderful Dublin Castle. What do I do here now? What do I do? How do I react to this? Do I take her up on it? Do I appeal to the judge or whatever? And just carry on, just ignore it. And that's what I did. And whether it was the right thing to do or not, I don't know. But I enjoyed the tribunal, and particularly that particular area that we were in at that time.
Do you miss the bar?
I don't. Sorry, I tell you what, I think my answer to that is I don't miss working. Like with family, we miss our family and friends at home, miss the law library in that sense, enjoyed my work for the 40 years. And I was mainly sort of court-based, which was my preference. That's the way it worked out. But I don't miss getting up early and putting on a suit and getting the bus in and walking up the quays and so on. I would particularly miss the coffees after the case kind of thing, because the storytellers in there, as you probably know well, are fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Well, Henry, it's a pleasure talking to you, you in your Erie, your casa in Spain, on the subject of your new novel, which is called Tilting at Windmills, subtitled A Spanish Year Chasing a Novel Dream. So enjoy your red wine this evening.
Thank you, I will. Thank you very much.
All the best, Henry. Thank you very much indeed. It's published by Orpen Press, by the way. It's available online and in all good bookshops.